Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. While they were talking about it, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to be seated? Did any of you sit up last night and watch the funeral of Philip? Yes? Yeah. It was a very moving service, very moving service. Quite simple, very simple, in fact. And after the service, they had some people talking and reviewing, I expect, if you like, the service and how it had gone. And the overall comments that were coming across were saying, it was very Philip. It was very Philip. I mean, Philip had, in fact, I understand that he had chosen all the music, he had chosen the simplicity, he had chosen no sermon. He had done all those things, and that's what everyone was saying, that they could see Philip would be pleased with how it had gone, because it was so like him. And it's just sort of really strange how all of us have these little things about us that we like and dislike. And people know us by our idiosyncrasies, the things that, you know, perhaps no other person would know. Unless you know the person, then you know them that well and you see, that's so them. That's so them. Many years ago, an aunt of mine had a fancy dress party. And I may have told you this before, but Wayne and I hired some costumes. And we went along to this party, and my costume was fantastic. It was so good that nobody in my family knew who I was. They didn't know who it was. I was in a clown costume, and it had this pull-on wig and a red nose, and we painted the lips, and it had a big hoop round here for big baggy pants. And of course, I was wandering around with my parents, my brothers, my aunts, uncles, grandparents, and none of them knew who I was. And we were there quite a long time, and I think people were all sort of starting to talk, who's the clown? Who is it? And one of my aunts came over to talk to me, and I had a flower as part of the costume. And she bent over to smell the flower, because I said to her, "Smell the flower," and she sort of went to sniff it, and I squeezed a thing in my pocket, and it squirted her in the face with water. And I started to giggle and laugh. And all of a sudden, she clicked who it was, and she said, "That's you, Debbie, that's so you. You know, you alone would play that trick on me." And she knew, and then everyone started saying, "Yeah, it's Debbie, that's so her, playing tricks." But I think we all sort of have these idiosyncrasies about us, what other people recognise, and we may not even be aware of them. I think one of the famous ones, and my mum used to have it, was a look. She had a look, you know, across the room. If you were in her eye and you caught her look, you would know that she was displeased by the look. And I used to say to my brothers often, oh, Mum just gave me the look, and they'd go, whoa. We know that look, we know that look. I'm sure that you have other things in your family. Perhaps you have the look, or perhaps your parents or somebody you know had the look that you know. And sometimes these things catch us unawares, don't they? We don't always notice it until perhaps we haven't seen it for a while. And then all of a sudden, somebody will do something, and we'll go, oh, that's so that person. You know, that just is so them. And that's what they were saying about last night's funeral. That's so Philip. That's so Philip. Well, in our reading today, you've got to remember that the disciples have been through this horrendous time. But it was a familiar gesture that awoke the disciples up to finally realising that this is Jesus. This is Jesus, risen from the dead. It truly is him. Now, think of these disciples, bedraggled, devastating disciples. They've been through an emotional roller coaster. Their beloved friend, the one who had filled their heads and their hearts with such love and such hope of a new world that was coming, had been tortured and killed, and they had seen all this happening. They were witnesses to that. So you can only imagine today their helplessness and their grief, not to mention all of their regrets and their feelings of failure and fear that we touched on a little bit last week, because they were afraid at what had happened. And then they had been made aware of these strange incidences that have recently occurred. Remember that just in the reading before the one we heard today, we hear that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, along with a few others, had reported finding an angel in the empty tomb who announced to them that Jesus was alive. Now remember, they've seen him killed. They've seen him die. And now someone is telling them that he is alive. And then more than that, they received a heavenly lecture that this was entirely what they should have been expecting all along. Why are you surprised? You know, this is what you should have been expecting. Now, Peter had been to see for himself, but he couldn't understand what had happened. Well, who would? And then there was this strange appearance on the road to Emmaus. Now, do you remember that story on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus had come and walked along with the disciples? He was there alongside them. And they still didn't recognise him. They didn't know who it was who was walking with them. But the funny thing is, or perhaps it's not so funny, just normal behaviour, is that none of the accounts that they'd heard about Jesus rising had convinced them. In the end, it wasn't the appearance of angels, nor the lectures, not even the presence of Jesus himself that convinced them that he had truly risen. All of those things just seemed to terrify them even more and confuse them. It was just when they saw the simple gestures that they finally realised, when they spent time in his presence and he did the simple things, that they realised and accepted that Jesus had actually risen, and this was he. It was there was Jesus. He wasn't wearing a fancy dress costume. He wasn't wearing any disguise. But somehow the disciples were kept from recognizing him until he asked for a simple thing. He said, "Have you got anything to eat?" And he ate a piece of broiled fish. Something quite simple. If you remember on the road to Emmaus, it was when he broke the bread and they suddenly realised, the penny dropped, this is Jesus. Squirt in the face with a flower, this is Debbie. You know your own thing that you do that somebody will go, ah, that's you, that's you. But it was the simple things that Jesus did, you know, eating the fish, breaking the bread. They were so close to Jesus. They instantly saw the way he did what only Jesus did in that particular way. And suddenly all the drama seemed to open the disciples' understanding. And then the mission of the church began. At that point, the mission of the church, where Jesus then, he goes on to send them to go and do the work of the church. And this mission that Jesus sent them at that point in the Bible is the same mission that we continue today. It's a huge task for us and sometimes a daunting task. And we can spend a lot of time and energy and efforts working out how we're going to do mission, how we're going to be the church in this place. But I think over the last couple of years, we have been proved that actually the mission of the church is a very simple one. It's not rocket science. All it is loving one another, showing the love of Christ to our neighbours, to our brothers and our sisters, to our family. That is the mission of the church. Telling people about Jesus and showing them about Jesus in the way that we behave and the way that we act. And I believe that here we have a good basis for growing the church. I truly believe that. Because over the last few years, I think that we have been settling down in this church and we've been learning that actually to grow the church, all we really need to do is to love one another. And if we love one another, then everyone will know that we are Jesus's disciples. I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? You don't need to have a theology degree. You don't need to understand every single word that's written in the Bible. You just need to have and experience the love of Christ. And the rest will come. And we need to hold on to that love of Christ, because when we love others, we will do things for others. And I mean, you know, on my heart at the moment, it's our young people, who we see very rarely in church, but who do belong to this church, and they do come, and they're faithful, but they struggle. They struggle to find meaning in the way we do things. So we need to be prayerfully looking at ways that we can engage them and still love them. We want to love them first and foremost, but we want them to grow in Christ by learning that Christ loves them too, so that they too will then love others. And also I want to pray for our more mature students, our more senior members of our congregation. You know, these senior members have been faithful in this church, some of them for many, many years. I don't want, if you're one of those senior members, I don't want you to feel that we've forgotten you and we're only focusing on the youngsters, because we love you. Christ loves you. He hasn't finished with you. You've been there, you've done that, you've worked all your life, and some of you have said for many, many years, working for Christ. But God loves you with all your own idiosyncrasies, because when you're not here, we will miss you. So we want to cherish you. We want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we want you to tell us, what can we do to encourage you on your spiritual journeys? How can we help you in your more senior years of faith to be encouraged? Because that's what we want to do. And then there's all those in between, isn't there? There's all those in between. You're not quite a teenager or a youngster, but you don't feel that you're quite into the very senior bracket yet, but you're still here. Don't feel left out, please. God loves you. We love you. Every single person, as I look around this church today, every single one of you has a special gift. Everyone. Every one of you. Don't want to miss anyone out. You have been called to this church. And you've been called here for a reason. And I do believe that God is going to do a really exciting thing here at our church, in our community. And you are not surplus to requirements. Every single one of you is needed. So I don't want you to feel daunted by that we're going to ask you to do something you can't do, or you feel that you really can't take on any more. That's not the point. We don't want you to feel that. We want you to know that you are loved. You are intrinsic to the plans that God has here. But he won't ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Because when he asks us, he gives us the skills and he also gives us the desire to want to do it. So if you feel you're being cajoled into doing something you don't want to do, can you have a quiet word with me? Because that means we've got you in the wrong slot. We've got you doing something that God's not calling you to do. And there must be somebody else who's sitting there thinking, I've got those gifts. I'm really wanting to do that. Why hasn't God asked me to do that? Well, he probably has, but we just haven't got on the same page yet. But together, we're going to work through this. And you, with your particular gift, as I said, are intrinsic to our future plans here in this place. So, we know that God loves us. We want other people to know that God loves us. And maybe we don't have the words. We can't always find those mission words to go out there and tell people theological talk. But we can love them. And you know, it's a funny thing, because when you start loving people, all of a sudden they go, they've got something special, that person. What is it they've got? Maybe I'd like some of that. And then, you know, just a simple invitation is sometimes all it takes. Why don't you come with me? I don't want you to be lonely on Sunday. Come along with me. Or we're having this function at the church. Why don't you come with us? That's all it takes. But you'll do it in the way that you do it, not how somebody else does it. And that's all God asks us to do. He's made us all so different. And they'll say, ah, yes, that's so, put your name in there. That's so like that person. Because that's who they are. They care. That's so like them. The funeral last night was so like Philip. In death, Philip was still thinking, I'm sure, about the Queen. It's so like Philip, putting the Queen first. Keeping things simple, keeping the service fairly short for state funerals. Keeping it short. Not wanting the Queen to be there any longer than she need be, but doing everything necessary in a simple way. That's so like Philip. Breaking bread on the road to Emmaus, that's so like Jesus. Eating the fish in that particular way, that's so like him. What are we going to do that people will say, that's so like them? Find your niche and know that you are not surplus to requirements, because God loves you. Thanks be to God. Amen.